Right now, I'm joined on the phone by Jamal Dajani. He is the producer of the television program on Link TV, Mosaic World News from the Middle East, which features dramatic recent footage of the conflict in Lebanon, Israel, and Gaza. It's a half-hour comprehensive program, a look at the both the narrative and pictures from the TV networks in the Middle East. Very pleased to be joined by Jamal Dajani on the phone here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hello, Jamal.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. Maybe we can just start, if you could tell folks how they can view this TV program. How do you get Link TV? How do you see it?
Well, in the Bay Area and Santa Cruz, the best way is to use, if you have a Dish Network, we're on channel 9410 and on DirecTV on channel 375, or you can go to our website, linktv.org, and go to the Mosaic streaming archive. And you can only not only see, everyday show, but you can go back up to 3 years ago and order any footage that you want to see.
Okay, so that's linktv.org to see the see the Mosaic streaming archive, or Dish Network channel again.
Channel 9410 and DirecTV channel 375, and every day Monday through Friday, 7:30 p.m., 7:30 to 8 p.m., we put on a half-hour news show.
Great. So you've been seeing a lot of the footage coming out of the situation there on the ground. Can you give us an overall review of that?
Well, I mean, you know, this is now an all-out war, you know, totally different to what happened in Gaza, where it's a limited war by Israel against Hezbollah in a small area, and Israel has the superiority in that effect. I think the surprising factor that most viewers will notice, you know, and this is something we've been getting not just from the Arab media, but also from the Israeli media, the amount of retaliation that Hezbollah was able to deliver. So, you know, for example, today Hezbollah was able to reach deep into Israel, into Haifa, and attack and hit direct hit on a train station, killing nine people. But the sad part about this whole event is that the effect on the civilians, because so far, you know, on the Lebanese front, you have over 130 civilians that have died. And on Israel, also, the attacks have mostly hit civilians and the infrastructure in both the Israelis and most definitely in Lebanon, destruction of airports, neighborhoods, the bridges. Cost Lebanon, I think, from what I've been seeing in the reports, about $4 billion worth of damage.
And in your TV program, Mosaic, do you also have Israeli media involved?
Yeah, we air also the Israel Broadcast Authority main network, you know, and so we do the coverage. Basically, we try to cover it from all different perspectives. Our focus is not to side with this point of view or that. You know, we are most effective when we show all these different perspectives. Just to give you an example to what's going on now in Lebanon. Lebanon has six different satellite networks, and those six different satellite networks, they also, within Lebanon itself, provide six different perspectives. Some are operated by the Christians in Lebanon, some by the Druze, and some by the Sunni Muslims, the Christians, and so they have a lot of influences from different directions, as well as Israel. So, of course, you know, we're getting the Arab perspective and the Israeli perspective, but I must add that even within Lebanon, the narrative has been different. There are people within Lebanon that pointed the finger at Hezbollah being the instigator, and others, of course, they're standing with Hezbollah and they see the major aggression. I mean, they are all united against that. The reaction from Israel is overblown, you know, for the kidnapping of the two soldiers. Nevertheless, they have a debate and ongoing in Lebanon. There is also a debate from the other TV networks that we've been covering, the positions in the Arab world vis-a-vis this crisis. It's not a monolith. It's not all united. Saudi Arabia is one, Jordan and Egypt were against Hezbollah, you know. So this is kind of unusual for us, in a sense. It's us against them, or Arabs against Israelis. It's more complex than it usually is the case.
You recently said that some of the footage you're seeing indicates that Israel isn't doing much damage to Hezbollah, that civilians and the civilian infrastructure is what's suffering the most there. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at all what has gone, you know, what had happened for the past 4 days, we hear about a war ongoing between Israel and Hezbollah. The casualties on the civilian side, I think we have gotten a report now. It's got updated to 138. Only two individuals who are in the, not even in Hezbollah, and the Lebanese army being killed. So you have 99.8%, you know, death on the civilian side. In one town in the south of Lebanon, Merwahiya, the town of Merwahiya, a family, an entire family and their neighbors were killed, and half of them were children under the age of 12. And this is, I'm talking about the town of Merwahiya, where Israel ordered people to get out because they were going to be shelling the town, and they went to seek refuge at the UN outpost, the French UN outpost there in the Fiji, and they were turned away. And when they got turned away, they got basically hit and killed. In another town, another family of eight died. On the bridge near Beirut, also more civilians were killed. So it has been claiming the majority, you know, if not, I can almost say almost 100%, has been the civilian population. So it is not, you know, an army against an army or specific targets. Israel is trying to cause as much damage into both the civilian population and infrastructure of Lebanon to bring it to its knees, so they can, you know, rein in on Hezbollah, which they actually, the Lebanese themselves, don't have that capability. Hezbollah has formed their state within a state, and the reaction, you know, if we go back in history about prisoner taking or prisoner exchange, it happened many times between Israel and Hezbollah, where they've exchanged soldiers, but this reaction here is way out of proportion.
What about the blockades? I've been hearing on different news sources that Israel is basically blockading Lebanon, that they're in some way controlling the, the borders?
Oh, yeah. The only border that and the roads have been hit is, you know, you could go on foot, or if you go through wherever the craters of the road linking Baghdad into basically Syria, but there is a naval blockade, so no ships can leave. There is a blockade, you know, on the airport. The airport, actually, not just a blockade, it's the runways have been destroyed. So as a matter of fact, if you're going to see some sort of a ceasefire, which I predict might happen within the next 24 hours on a temporary basis, it will only be to allow the Americans and the French nationals to be evacuated from Beirut, because now the U.S. and the French Navy, they've sent two boats off the shores of Beirut trying to, I think there are over 3,000 Americans living just in Beirut alone, and the French have their own nationals. So that's the only way you can get people out. The other people that have been, you know, the ones, the tourists, they've been just either going on foot or you know, using cars to get them to the Syrian border, and from Syria they can leave or go through from Syria into Jordan. But, yeah, of course, Israel controls the airspace and controls the, you know, the sea.
What about the situation in Gaza? Has your program Mosaic been including footage from there? And if so, can you give us a description of the current situation?
Well, you know, as you know, Gaza has been under blockade. I mean, that's even before the Israeli soldier was taken away. You know, this has been ongoing since Israel unilaterally withdrawn from Gaza. Gaza, actually, in this conflict, now the focus, Israel had three air raids on Gaza today, and they tried to assassinate someone from Islamic Jihad. And those stories did not make it in the headlines. I mean, a few American press even mentioned that. I didn't see it on CNN or Fox TV, you know, because we monitor also American TV. And that's because the intensity of the battle that is going on in Lebanon. But the intensity of the occupation, the starvation, the control over Gaza did not disappear. It has diffused a little bit that Israel now is focusing more on Lebanon, but Gaza has been under blockade. They're running out of water. They're running out of fuel. Their hospitals don't have electricity. They have been operating on generators, and the generators actually operate, you know, they need fuel to be run. And just recently, the EU promised to bring in fuel into Gaza, but they haven't received that. So I think Gaza is on a brink of a catastrophe, a humanitarian catastrophe.
In fact, that's what human rights groups and some in the UN are saying. And those generators not only need fuel, but sometimes need spare parts, which also can't be brought in. And this is severely affecting the hospitals. Have you seen any footage from the hospitals? Do you have any idea what the situation is there?
Yeah, I mean, we actually have covered the story from even not just the ICU unit in the hospital in Gaza, but also there are other hospitals, for example, the mental health clinic there. They've had they have so many cases of children and adults, and they made an appeal to see, you know, because they depend a lot on volunteers, you know, doctors to come help them. I mean, the situation is beyond description. They have a problem with water, just the basic thing that the children every day they have to go to certain desalination plants, which 80% of them have already stopped functioning, just to get their drinking water and bring it home. And that's the job of children under the age of 10 years old. Instead of going to school, they go with plastic jugs to fill water. They have the highest rate of kidney stones and problems with the liver because the water is polluted and full of sand since the Israelis have pumped out all the water, tapped into the aquifers outside, and now salt water is seeping into their own water reserve. So the situation there is horrifying, you know, and every time it comes into the brink, basically, of total collapse, which it is, then they let them in a little bit of, you know, of water or let a little bit of money or food or something like this. They're just being maintained, you know, in a situation just to almost, it reminds me of like just keeping someone alive on equipment, you know, just with breathing devices. I mean, this is how the best description I can make to Gaza, just barely kept alive.
Roughly how many civilians have been killed? You already mentioned in Lebanon about 123. What about in Gaza and Israel? And what kind of targets have been hit in all three places?
Well, I mean, Gaza is a continuous thing. So the civilian population in Gaza, I mean, we have to talk about when what's the period we measure it from? Do we measure it from the unilateral withdrawal of Israel from there? Do we measure it from the beginning of the Second Intifada and so forth? So the numbers there, I can tell you in Gaza, just to give you an example, since the kidnapping of the soldier and sometimes it's maybe even wrong to just talk about Gaza alone, because that's what Israel likes to do, is to separate from the West Bank. But the total Palestinians that have been killed is 220. 220 Palestinians have been killed both in the West Bank and Gaza. You know,
since the capture of the Israeli soldier, you're not including the deaths of the family on the beach, the shelling, and the...
Well, since the capture of the Israeli soldier, that's the number that I have. I looked at, a report that came out. It's 120, the report. But, you know, of course, the Israeli, you know, if you want to count the family, that's before that, it was, what, eight people died, a family of eight died.
Then you had the incidents where Israel, did a quote-unquote targeted assassination, and then a few minutes later fired into a crowd that was trying to help people and hit ambulance drivers and such. I mean, you're right, it does go back. But so about 120 civilians in or Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank since the capture of the soldier.
Since the capture of the soldier,
What
yeah.
about in Israel?
In Israel, since the war with Lebanon has started, now we are getting a recent report saying about 28 people. Another report says 19. So we're getting conflicting reports. I just was watching a few minutes ago Al Jazeera crew from Haifa because they said they had 9 casualties there, and then the Al Jazeera crew was arrested. They were prevented from doing their work. But these are at least the most recent numbers, and they have about 32 in different injuries, different level injuries, and again, that's not. And then there is four that soldiers that were killed on the boat, military people. So you have to define the civilian targets. I think the civilians in the 20s, I would
And
say.
what kind of targets have been hit? You mentioned already in Gaza and in Lebanon power stations. We know about the airport in Beirut that was hit more than once. Some of the other targets, including in Israel.
Well, bridges, roads, that's in Lebanon, television station Al Manar and Nur Television, they've been targeted. The headquarters of Hezbollah in Beirut, the neighborhoods of southern Beirut district where mostly the Shiites live there, they've been hit. And in Israel, they have been, the most recent hit was the train station in Haifa, in Nahariya, in Tabariya, Tiberias. Various spots, around the country. Today, about 2.5 hours ago, Hezbollah television Al Manar aired the speech by Sheikh Nasrallah, their secretary general, and he was alluding to the fact that, according to him, this is according to him, that they have refrained from hitting the civilian population in Israel, and they targeted selected targets such as. Station such as military spots and soldier bases and airports, but he was claiming that since now the civilian population in Lebanon has been hit, everything is permissible for for him. And he even said that he avoided hitting, for example, Haifa. He avoided hitting the chemical plant in Haifa. There is a major chemical plant which can cause major catastrophe in the region. But again, he said, if Israel continues to hit our population, we are not going to exclude any single target. So far, Hezbollah and in particular Nasrallah made all these threats, and he has delivered on every single threat and actually surprised not only the Lebanese and the Arab population, but the Israelis. The Israelis now monitoring the Israeli press, and the Israeli press, they are really angered. They feel that their government has failed them, that they did not have good information and good intelligence about the capability and did not prepare the population that Hezbollah, in fact, can hit Haifa and perhaps even reach Tel Aviv.
What do you think the possibility of a wider regional war is at this point?
I think the possibility is high if Israel gambles, takes another gamble, and seems to be the Olmert government trying, since Olmert himself and his Minister of Defense, both of them come from the civilian sector. Neither one was a general in the army like Sharon and Barak, etc. And they seem to me they want to outdo their predecessors. They want to show that they are tougher, on the Palestinians and Lebanese and so forth. If they take a gamble and go into Syria, and then Syria is drawn into the conflict. Syria has an understanding or some sort of a treaty with Iran, a mutual defense agreement. And that's going to bring Iran. And so imagine now if Israel is going this kind of war and this intensity going on with the Lebanon, really a small country with very little resources. And if Syria is drawn into the conflict and Iran is drawn into the conflict, it's going to be a major war. It's going to be a major war, you know, at the level that is what is going on in the other forgotten war that we seem to forget about it quickly, just to remind your listeners that just today, you know, maybe I got 132 reports about Lebanon, and we had 60-some reports about Iraq, which I cannot cover because we are so inundated with the news from Lebanon. And so the war in Iraq, you know, like yesterday or the day before yesterday, you know, an attack on Iraqi mosques, ongoing attack on the Iraqi police, 20 police recruits were killed. So all of a sudden, those news are becoming unimportant. And I feel, you know, it's kind of giving probably what the Bush administration, you know, want, this distraction, this reprieve, this break from the Iraqi quagmire. I mean, we have to remember, we have also a major quagmire. We have a civil war going on in Iraq, and that's going to be, if you open another front with Syria and Iran involved, it's going to be a major regional war.
From what you've been seeing in news reports from the region, how likely do you think that is?
I think this is, you know, I mean, I don't like to make predictions, but it's very likely to happen if Syria is drawn into the conflict. So I don't know. I know from the past, at least, and then you have to know that Israel also policies mirror that of the United States. Israel does not operate in a vacuum. They might not listen to the entire world, but they do have communication with the United States, and the United States, since the assassination of Prime Minister Hariri, and since they know a lot of the infiltrators and the insurgents come from Syria, they have been trying to create something, you know, maybe a coup d'etat in Syria, a change of regime. That's what at least the Bush administration keeps talking about, a change in regime. So if they want to be adventuresome and egg Israel to hit Syrian targets, if they feel, you know, I don't know, I mean, people say, well, you know, they usually take all these gambles without calculating. If they do another gamble, thinking, well, let's also invade Syria and let's hit, you know, Iran to get rid of their nuclear program, we're going to have a regional war, no doubt about it. And if you ask me this, and we don't have George Bush in Washington D.C. I might have my own analysis, but since we have this administration, everything is possible.
You're listening to 101.1 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This show is called Peace Talks. It's every Sunday from 3 to 6 on this station. I'm speaking with Jamal Dajani. He is producer of the television program on Link TV, Mosaic, World News from the Middle East, which features dramatic recent footage of the conflict in Lebanon, Israel, and Gaza, as well as other Middle East news footage. The program is about a half an hour long. It's a comprehensive look at both the narrative and pictures from the television networks in the Middle East, including Israel, as we heard from Jamal. Actually, a lot of different perspectives are also shown. And you can see this program at linktv.org, Mosaic Streaming Archive, linktv.org, or if you have DirecTV, channel 375, and Dish Network, channel 94, is that right?
9410.
9410. Okay, just have a couple more questions for you, Jamal. The TV station was just hit in the last day or two, right, in Lebanon. Al-Manar, it's mm-hmm. a Hezbollah station, right?
That's right.
Can you give me your thoughts on that hit? Were any people killed in that? And just what happened? What kind of damage was done? And what are your thoughts on that kind of attack?
Well, you know, Al-Manar has been targeted before and has been targeted. I mean, I'm talking targeted not just in the military aspect. Al-Manar has been targeted also to be, you know, politically. That just a couple of years ago, the State Department, which is in an unprecedented move, put a media network on its terrorist list. So So Al Manar, which used to broadcast internationally, was cut off from being received in the United States. And we used to broadcast segments from Al Manar because, again, I believe that if you want to have a comprehensive coverage, you have to give, you know, the perspective of everyone, whether you like them, whether they agree with you politically or not. You know, this is media. The news is not about, you know, who you love and who you hate. It's about different perspectives. So because Al Manar is anti-Israel, anti-American, etc., it was cut off from coming into the United States. And now Israel took it the step further by hitting it, you know. And I think as if somebody in the media, as a journalist, any attack on any journalist or any media, I don't care, you know, what is their position, this is terrorism against the media. And the United States has been accused internationally by conducting such a thing, because they also, we've heard the reports about discussions between Bush and Blair about hitting Al Jazeera. So if you don't like someone that reports something, then go ahead and kill them. This is the policy we want to see. And the ironic thing about it and the hypocritical thing about it is the United States itself is engaged in a propaganda campaign in the Middle East. They have established the suburb of Washington, D.C. in Virginia, a station called Al-Hurra, which beams American propaganda into the Middle East at the expense of $130 million of American taxpayers per year. So what is this double standard? Why people see, if, you know, I don't care how radical they are. I mean, the whole idea of, you know, reporting the news is to get it from every different perspective, and then leave it to the viewer, leave it to the listener, leave it to the reader. I think they are intelligent enough to sift between propaganda and the truth.
Again, I'm speaking with Jamal Dajani. He is the producer of the TV program Mosaic World News from the Middle East on Link TV. Any final thoughts today, Jamal?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing here is really an escalation. It's something that is going to affect us, as you know, affect the United States in the long run. You could see that by Friday, the price of oil reached $78, and possibly it's going to hit $80 if this war is ongoing. The U.S. itself cannot afford to be one-sided in the Middle East. They cannot keep taking the position of giving the carte blanche and the green light for Israel to do whatever it wants to do. The United States has a major image problem in the Middle East after the war in Iraq, and this is an opportunity for the U.S. to save the civilian lives of Lebanese and Israelis, but by putting the brakes on this war, because if this war continues, it's going to drag us into a larger regional war that's going to have a ripple effect all the way into the U.S.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Jamal. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Again, Jamal Dajani, producer of the TV program on Link TV, Mosaic World News from the Middle East, which features dramatic recent footage of the conflict in Lebanon, Israel, and Gaza, and more. This is a half-hour program, a comprehensive look at both the narrative and pictures from the television networks in the Mideast. You can see Mosaic TV, the Mosaic World News from the Middle East, at linktv.org. Mosaic Streaming Archive is what you'd want to check out there at linktv.org, Mosaic Streaming Archive. Also through DirecTV channel 375 or Dish Network channel 9410.